Hi, this is Jonathan from Lewis Jewelers. If you're in the market for a diamond, we can make the experience easy and stress-free. Not to mention, we can save you time and money. As a general manager, one of my roles is to hand-select every diamond that comes into our store. Don't shop alone. Come see me or one of my trusted advisors and find the perfect diamond today. Where Ann Arbor gets engaged, Lewis Jewelers.
Welcome back to another edition of the Wolverine.com podcast. This is our TV version. We got a special guest this week. No, it's not Doug Skeen. He's here every week. It's Chris Hutchinson, otherwise known as Aiden's dad now, Chris. I got to tell you, we thought you were a legend. Your kid has taken this thing to another level. And in fact, I was talking to three or four different people today that said he has a legitimate chance here with a big game to steal the Heisman Trophy. And the odds, you look at Vegas and you look at the odds and you've got Bryce Young. And then it's like, okay, who's next and who has that opportunity? Here's Aiden Hutchinson with his biggest game on the biggest stage. Just tell me what was going through your mind on Saturday watching him out there finally slay that dragon that's Ohio State.
Well, it's funny because I heard about, you know, how good their tackles were, and I knew that, you know, it was going to be a biggest challenge and probably some of the best two tackles that he faced in tandem. And Aiden and I talked about, you know, what are the other guys in the Big Ten? What did they do? You know, they didn't do much around them. So I'm like, all right, well, this I think is going to be, well, it might not be Penn State, but, you know, I still think that everything, Aiden controls everything that he does. Did I think he was going to get three sacks and, you know, get a holding penalty and run some, you know, large fellow over? No. I think that was, honestly, I just think that he's that good. I mean, Doug, you know, we went back. I was showing you film from camp. And I'm like, either Aiden is this good or our offense is that bad. And I think it turned out to be that Aiden is really that good. And I don't, you know, people that know me like you do, Doug, you know that I'm not this, I'm going to, you know, think the last of, I really don't think he's going to be that good until I can really see it. And he has proven every bit of what the hype is. I mean, the kid is, I mean, on the field, off the field, leadership. And then to play that way in that game, on that stage, that's freaking ridiculous.
Hutch is not that dad. He's not that guy. And there's absolute truth to this, going all the way back to when Aiden was young and, you know, tall and skinny. You know, is this guy any good? Is he going to be any good? Very humble approach. So there's a lot of legitimacy in that answer.
Yeah, and you told me, Skeen, that Chris was asking you, hey, do you think my kid is good enough to play at Michigan? Guys played against
Michigan.
Which is crazy. And now look at him. Now he's going to be the number one overall draft pick, most possibly. It's unbelievable what he's accomplished, Chris. But it's not just that. Interviewing this kid, and I told you this in a text after the game, what a great kid, you know, and what an great ambassador for the university. And I've always said, you know, what's missing is that championship DNA passed down from class to class. But he got that championship DNA through you, and now you get over the top. And this is why he came back, right? I mean, he didn't want to go out on the note that he went out last year.
No. And I think the video or still that sums his whole legacy up is at the end of the game, almost going to choke me up, he gets done, and you see him just raising his arms, and he's literally bawling his eyes out. And you can just feel what this kid has put into it. And it was such an emotional event for him. It was great to see. You're like, this is true, genuine emotion. This kid loves this program. He accomplished his goals. His team is right where they want to be. I mean, it's picture perfect. And to see the kid go through that and just be, you know, genuine on the field, it was beautiful. I'm still tearing up here a little bit here.
You're not the only one, brother.
Your kid drew a tear out of me too. So, and that whole football team did. But I got to ask this question. There was a visible measurement of vengeance, violence, foaming of the mouth, aggression that I had not seen out of a Michigan football team. And I told Ballas this. As recent, the last time I saw it was at Michigan State when Devin Bush was, you know, doing the pregame stuff with the Michigan State team. I have not seen that blood in the eyes, desire to tear someone limb to limb out of a Michigan football team. Why? What happened? What happened with this year's team leading up to that game that created that that magic potion that makes a football team want to destroy someone. Where'd that come from?
Honestly, I think it's just one of those things. It's literally like a magic potion. You get the right number of guys in there and they take things over. I mean, we said it and all the guys said it from the get-go of this camp in spring ball. They're like, we don't know, but something's different. They couldn't put their finger on it. They were having fun. This everything felt different. No one could say what it was, but they just knew that it was different. To me, it's the leadership. And you had guys that stayed and you had guys that saw what happened in years past and didn't like what happened. And they didn't want that to happen and they wanted things to change. And you had that with the right season and the guys that were really hungry because they really crapped the bed the year before. They wanted this, and you know, hopefully we can see it through to summation in a couple of days.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's interesting. One last thought about that, Ballas. Yeah. It's interesting because we've heard that. We've heard that from previous Michigan teams over the last 6-7 years that, oh, this is different. We're taking it different. And yet the results were still underwhelming in some of those seasons. But this truly was different. There was something. And the last test was at Ohio State game. And I tell you, that's what brought the tears to my eye was the two offensive linemen getting up in that kid's face after he tore Wilson's helmet off. Obviously, Aiden and Ajabo torturing those offensive tackles. And you said, yeah, pushed a large human being on his butt. We have other names for that, Hutch, and you know a lot of them for what defensive linemen do to each other. So yeah, offensive linemen right out there. Some of that you can't talk about on a podcast here. That's a family podcast. But that was, as Ballas and I have talked about, the old Michigan football that we haven't seen in a long, long time.
Well, let me tell you a little aside. You may not have seen this, but the play that's gotten all the notoriety for Aiden where he knocked the big fella over, if you watch the TV copy and do you see Aiden doing this and he's going like this? So Aiden saw them call the protection that they were sliding to Aiden. And Aiden says, he just starts screaming at the guy going, come on, big boy, I'm coming. I'm coming. That's what he's doing. I don't know if the big boy thought Aiden was trying to psych him out and he's going to do a speed rush, but he's like, I'm coming. And it was effective. I mean, because I kept going, I go, what were you doing there? He's like, I told the big fella I was coming. Because I knew the slide was to me, and I knew that what I've been dealing with all game, so I was, you know, determined to run through him.
I tweeted it, and I tweeted the extra the TV copy, and my line up there was, I'm coming, and hell's coming with me. And that was the two feeling
lines. I mean, he doesn't talk like Jack, but he was like, he was in the zone, and he was like, brother, I'm bringing it, so you better be ready.
Hutch, you know, from sitting in some film sessions, I was imagining myself either being that kid or
all right, we got Doug Skeen back. He's having a nice little Saturday at Home Depot. Might go to Bed Bath & Beyond after this. I don't know. I don't know if we'll have enough time. But we got him back. And we got to get the pose in which you froze because that was fantastic. And what I was saying to Hutch, I wanted the PG version of exactly what Aiden was saying to the kid. You know, but I'm coming, big boy, does it for me. Because that play right there epitomized and summed up everything about that football game. Hutch, teams in the past went into that game hopeful. I got the sense in the pregame that there was something different, that these guys were going out there expecting to win. What did Aiden say to you leading up to the game?
He said, I like our game plan. I think what we're doing in the secondary is going to help control things. And I just said, that's great, but your offense is going to have to score 30 points because even though you're holding that offense, the Ohio State's offense, they're still going to score. They're that good. But yep. If you can make them march down the field 12 plays and burn up 6 minutes, you've done your job. And the offense happened to be a non-punt offense in the second half, and there you go, 15-point win.
I thought that the start of the second half was critical. The two stops that they got, I think Ohio State had 8 plays. Michigan scores twice. But the offense, the complimentary football, I thought was fantastic. And really, Jim Harbaugh getting back to his Stanford roots. And Skeen and I have talked about that. And there are so many people that hate that man ball thing. Oh, God, you're not going to run. And when he brought up blocking and tackling, and, you know, we have to channel Bo and Woody, there was a segment of the fan base that was just screaming, like, he doesn't understand. I'm like, no, he gets it perfectly. That's what it takes to win a game like this. Take me back to your own days against Ohio State. It's the most violent game of the year.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this was everything about in the trenches, and we set the tempo there. I mean, it was, the pretty guys outside get all the pictures and all the fanfare, but Doug and I are who won this thing. And I actually made a comment. I was doing an interview yesterday, and they were talking about, Desmond and the Heisman Trophy, and I'm like, I go, Desmond, I've never told. I looked right in the camera. I go, Desmond, I've never told you this, but a little bit of your Heisman Trophy is mine, because if you didn't have us, your defense wasn't any good, and Heisman Trophy winners are never on bad teams.
That's exactly
No, they're
right
not.
too.
Yeah, so good. I'm glad you told Desmond that, because I want my piece of the Heisman Trophy so I can parade it around town.
Right. You got your TV time on the catch.
Right.
That's right. You got your TV time on the catch against Notre Dame scheme when you were the first one to the end zone there.
Yeah,
like
right,
pizza
right.
Or something.
My cheap press all these years later, it still counts. Oh, it's
exactly.
Pretty awesome. So, Hutch, Aiden knew slide protection was to his side on the play where he actually trucked the dude.
Yep.
How much more did that Michigan defense know was coming before the ball was snapped?
You know, that's one of the things about what Aiden is able to do and why he loves to stand up, because I was more of a simpleton. I want to put my hand in the ground and I know I got a man over me and I got to beat him. He wants to see where the back is. Is the tight end on the line of scrimmage? Is the tight end off the line of scrimmage? Because he is able to say, well, I know if the back and tight end are in this position, I've got 70% this, 30%. And he's able to think about that real time to know what's coming. And I think that is what has made him, partially what's made him faster. He's able to do that, stand up, recognize everything and say, I've got a pretty good shot of, I know what's coming. And
the defense, this new defense with McDonald has allowed him to see that.
Absolutely. Standing up, and then McDonald, the way they present it to the kids and they make it to where they know back away, tight end on the ball. That's why the outside linebackers are signaling to each other where the tight end is, so the other guys know it, because we're playing tendencies.
Hi, this is Jonathan from Lewis Jewelers. If you're in the market for a diamond, we can make the experience easy and stress-free. Not to mention, we can save you time and money. As a general manager, one of my roles is to hand-select every diamond that comes into our store. Don't shop alone. Come see me or one of my trusted advisors and find the perfect diamond today. Where Ann Arbor gets engaged, Lewis Jewelers.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Did you expect Hutch? It surprised me when they weren't chipping him and bringing another guy over there. Almost a slap in the face at times, because he was just brutalizing kids. 15 pressures, by the way, Skeen, was a record, a Pro Football Focus record since 2014. And I swear to God, if he hadn't been held about another handful of times, he would have had three or four more sacks. But did it surprise you at all that they didn't give him a little more attention there, Hutch?
No. This is the big boy phenomenon, we call it. The big boys have too much pride in their offensive line. Look at Wisconsin. Look at Penn State. They're not going to spend that time chipping you. Why did Aiden not get sacks in Maryland? Because they chipped him. They put a tight end. They put a running back. They knew that they couldn't do it. But the big boys, they think they can do it. And Aiden's like, they're not going to do it. They're not going to chip me that much. And you see what happens.
Yeah. Talk about what Mike McDonald has meant to him. And was Aiden skeptical coming in? I know a lot of us were. You're like bringing in a guy who's never been a coordinator. We knew that he had the pedigree, right? We know that John Harbaugh is a great football mind, but you just didn't know about Mike McDonald. How long did it take him to win Aiden over, and just how far is he coming under him?
It was interesting because Aiden didn't do spring ball, so it was hard to get a feel. I mean, he towards the second half of spring ball, he was playing all the linebacker positions up front, like on 7-7, just to get used to dropping and doing those things. And so I think he got enough of a feel. He's like, he really likes standing up. I think probably that was the biggest portion of it. He realized that standing up opened his mind to all of these possibilities that are out there. And then the way McDonald continues to each game, pretty much it's you know, they're going to use eight in different spots. They don't always have to move it around, but just like the Western Michigan coach said, we thought he was going to be here, and he wasn't here there very often. So they game plan him a whole bunch. Sometimes he's into the boundary, depends on what they're running. Sometimes he's to the field. Sometimes it's Daxon him to the field. You know, so they've moved him around enough so where the offenses have to now think about it, which is what you want, especially in college, because now you've got another thing for this quarterback to think about. He's got to think about where Hutch is, where he's going to slide his protection, where he's going to move the back to. Now you've given them another thought process while you're thinking about everything else you got to think about. I think all – like that was whole McDonald's whole process was you just make that quarterback think a little bit longer, and that's going to give our rush that much more chance. And I think Aiden, he started to see that and see all these places. It didn't really change his position from where they were at. It just gave him different opportunities and moved him around enough so where people couldn't just line up and say, well, I know he's going to be to the field every time, so I can just call my play here. And you saw that happen in the Ohio State game right before Ohio State lining up and Aiden and Ojabo switched because he was going to the boundary and they were trying to run at Ojabo into the boundary. And instead, it was Aiden there and it was a 2-yard gain. And thank you very much, third and long.
Yeah, yeah. And I've got to say this. You guys – you guys have talked, and I've talked to some of your teammates who said, you know, that have been in that building and say the Michigan football that we lived isn't there anymore. It's gone. But to me, and I've said this many times, this reminds me of the 1985 team and, you know, a little before your time. Skeen, you were probably still watching Michigan football. Chris, were you watching Michigan football in the mid-80s?
No, not really. I mean, I had a lot of connections to I wasn't born here like Doug was, but I had a lot of connections here.
Yeah, but it felt like that team, and you're like, okay, this feels like a Michigan football team. When you're in that building, Hutch, does it remind you of the way things used to be?
I think there's small parts of it that everything has changed. You know, just when and maybe it's because I'm too close to Aiden and see what he goes through and what they have to deal with in social media, which is an entirely different discussion. But I try to put myself in his shoes all the time and see what he's going through. And sometimes I can like, Aiden, I've been here. I know what you're going through. And other times I'm like, I can't even imagine what you have right now. But certainly the way that, you know, they get coached hard. I think that for me, probably the biggest thing that reminded me of our teams is the leadership's coming from the top. The guys that stayed here, the guys that are living Bo's most famous quote, they stayed around, and guess what? They are finally champions.
Yeah, and they got another chance for another championship. Skeen, tell them your preseason prediction. Have you told Chris yet what you have?
I probably told him. It was like 5-7, Hutch. I thought they were going to be terrible. But I'm being pragmatic in my old age here, going off of what I've seen and in the last few seasons, and last year really took the wind out of my sails. And I was the doubter, and Hutch, as Ballas and I have talked all year long, I could not be happier to be wrong every week that this team proved me wrong right up and through the last Saturday. But I just went off of, you know, what they were doing. Some of the coaching changes I thought were great. Some of them certainly raised questions. Sharon Moore, absolutely, in his first year as offensive line coach, the dude did a great job. And for that, I could not be happier for those guys and him.
Secondary is the progress they have made from game one to now. You know what? You want to catch a ball over the top of their head on the pylon? Attaboy. Yeah. Good job.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, you know what? I'm going to give it to you. That's a great coverage. Yeah. But man, that's the biggest thing to me. That secondary, I those kids come out of nowhere. You got freshmen playing, you got guys who get torched 2 years ago and embarrassed. And it's like, wow, that this is what coaching does for you.
It's Gray. Vincent Gray, obviously Dax Hill, the big year back there. But obviously, having a pass rush like you guys, like Hutch and Ojabo off the edge, but like I said last week, I think Aiden and Ojabo's elevation also brought Mozzie and Hinton in the middle. I thought it brought their game up too.
Yeah, and they did a hell of a job.
Totally. I hear stories from Nua and the coaches about how Aiden, just without saying anything, they realize what kind of a job Aiden has done, and they've fallen in line, and hopefully this is what's going to continue to take this team. Those guys are going to learn from how Aiden and Josh and all the captains did it and all the seniors did it, and they're going to be like, this is how it's done. Not how we did it 2 years ago. This is how you do it. This is the formula. You might not win the Big Ten every time, but damn it, you're going to look like a team that is right there.
Hutch, doesn't that sound familiar? Bunch of guys falling in line with a bunch of upperclassmen, and then those upperclassmen duplicating that and then doing it over again five times. That sounds familiar.
That's the method of success right there. I mean, we lived it.
The crazy part is that we thought Ojabo would be following Hutch, young Hutch, you know, and being that next guy. Well, guess what? You know, he's already presented as first round pick too. And you're wondering if he's both of your, you know, and to have that guy have a guy like Aiden on the other side of you opens things up. You know, you're not going to, you're not going to get doubled. If anybody's going to be getting doubled, it's Aiden. So let me ask you this: who's the guy coaching him? I know that Nua was coaching the interior guys. Who's the guy that that really spent the most time with Aiden and Ojabo out there?
Well, from Aiden really enjoys his time with the analyst Oz. Obviously, Oz being an analyst has limitations what he can't do on the field, but what Oz has brought to them from, you know, a fresh perspective and different techniques and really elevated Aiden's game. Aiden really enjoys his time with Oz. I mean, he thinks he is one of the brightest guys, and the things that he, as an analyst, what he does to help with the game plan and breaking down film and showing these guys the weaknesses of the offensive linemen and showing them how to watch film, all these little tiny things that, you know, Aiden, maybe he wasn't ready for back a few years ago, but now his brain is just sucking all this stuff up, and he is really enjoying his time with Oz.
Yeah, and he's being mentioned as for coaching spots at UConn, I think, has come up. I mean, that's the thing, too, about a staff, right? When you have success, coaches are going to want to poach you and give you opportunities. So we'll see what Jim does to try to keep these guys together. But what a staff it is. You could just tell it's palpable the way they work together and how much they like each other in that building. And it's been fun just through interviews. So a question I get all the time, guys, any more young Hutchinsons coming through the ranks, or is it too late to start, you know?
Not any. I haven't been served with any legal papers for paternity yet. So we're all good there, I think.
Well, it's too bad because people want to see. Yeah, people want more Hutchinsons coming through and skiing. No young kids in Boston and New England or anything like that.
No, Ballas. I think at this point you might have to just wait a decade and look for some grandkids.
It's scary. It's scary because you know you joke about it, but it'll be here before you know it. So, guys, I really appreciate your time. I want to ask you guys about one last thing about Iowa, because it's crazy. They've had two coaches since I've been watching Iowa football and Michigan football, and Hayden Fry and Kirk Ferentz, and both of those programs, tough, hard-nosed. And it looks similar to me, the way they play and how hard they play. What was it like playing Iowa back then, and do you see similarities in this program?
You did not want to go to Iowa and play. I mean, they might not have the most athletic, the fastest guys in the world, but they're going to execute their scheme, and they're going to play through the whistle, and you're going to get their best shot. And you know they were well coached. You didn't necessarily think you're going to get outrun, but you might get out hit and out pushed around, and it's scary. And I told Aiden, I go, don't underestimate. I know you guys are 10-point favorites, but these guys, I mean, it's not at home. You're not at Kinnick, so it's a little different. But they will come out and they're going to execute their scheme. And Aiden actually said that after the first round of film, he was saying, you know, these guys aren't the most talented, but their scheme, they execute it. They know how to use their talent. They know that, you know, they're not the biggest, fastest, and strongest, but effort and teamwork and a unit and on unison and the offensive line is together. You know, they're not Ohio State, but they can hurt you if you let them.
Yeah, what they lack in those shiny star recruits that other schools get, they make up for in absolutely great footwork, hand placement, and execution of the schemes at which they're coached in. And that has what has allowed Iowa over the years to compete and win Big Ten championships. This team from Iowa is no surprise. And I haven't watched any Iowa film, but Kurt Ferentz is still the head coach. Yep. That guy's still coaching the same fundamentals. And that's why this would be a challenge for Michigan.
Yeah, it will. I remember when you guys went down there, fell behind. Jesse Housecat Johnson came out of nowhere, I think, in the screen game. You remember that? Blocking out there on the perimeter. He had a nice game for you. And defense stiffened in the second half. It seems like yesterday, guys, 30 years ago. It's hard to believe. But you'll be there, Hutch, I know, on Saturday. Absolutely. We'll look for you. Last time I saw you, you were at Penn State sitting up, I think, in row two from the top next to a buddy of mine named Kurt. And I'm sorry about that. He probably chopped your ear off. But it was cold there.
Wasn't it? Yeah, we were touching the clouds. We were so high.
It was cold. Crazy.
Oh, it was not friendly.
No, but it'll be in a dome, and we're looking forward to it. You feel like these guys are ready and put this Ohio State game behind them?
Oh, yeah. I was, you know, early on, I tried to give Aiden a good 24 hours to savor the win, and I lasted about 14 before I was ready to move on. And I really was like, stop. I mean, just went through all this. Give him some more time. And, you know, it was Monday we started talking, and he'd already started watching film, and he's like, no, Dad, this is not our goal. Our goal was to beat Ohio State, but that was one of our goals. Our other goal is to win the Big Ten championship. There is no doubt in our mind that we are dialed in. This wasn't we beat Ohio State, but us. It was we beat Ohio State. Now let's take the next step.
Yeah, and there could be two more steps after that. We'll have to see. We could be back in Indianapolis, guys, in early January. We'll see what happens. Certainly not out of the realm of possibility now. So, Skeen, Hutch, I really appreciate your time. I can't tell you how much, and hopefully we'll catch up with you next month. Man, maybe we'll be talking about a Heisman Trophy. Seriously, you never know. So
you never know.
But congratulations to you and your kid. What a fantastic year.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, later, Hutch. Later, Ballas. Go Blue.
Yes.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.